This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
A mean mug on a virgin named Doug. Called her Kilday.
Just imagining a scowling old virgin.
My name's Doug.
And I haven't fucked.
He's so proud of it.
I never will.
And he's proud and mad. The worst combination. And then, of course, Emily Axford.
Making her way as Glenifer Sky Days. Calliope Petrichor.
Yeah.
Eris.
That summer menu's coming up.
Good to be an heiress.
And then finally, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Ooh, a near-dead bloke who's about to croak. It's Potato Skinderson.
No. Potato. Saul is going to die. Let's not bury the
lead
there.
The worse they get, the more I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were doing our fake name. Saul Bufolk was going to sound a lot better.
Yep, that's also doesn't rhyme. quick announcement before, you know, we're going to do a pre-show plug. Guys, Whoa. We've got Ooh. Live shows, our biggest Whoa. One ever coming up, June Whoa. 17th in Los Angeles. That is our Whoa. Home base, so you know there's going to be a special guest or two. Yes. We shall see.
Waiting in the wings.
To be announced. And then we have the night before in Portland, June 16th, is also going to be our biggest show ever.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
Also going to be every show. Yeah.
We like to top ourselves yes. constantly. Never go back.
Right.
Never
40 special guests in Portland.
Yeah.
Keep climbing.
We got a lot of friends in Portland. And by that, I mean you. You're going to be there, listener.
With your friends.
And we appreciate
and your cousins.
Seeing you there. Yeah, bring all every cousin you have.
Whoa.
Anyway, guys. Let's get into the show. Let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Yes.
Okay.
So last time, you all snuck through the mothership air yacht, hitching a ride on a commuter tram. There, you battled security drones, dodged lasers, and witnessed some steamy affairs. Afterwards, you snuck up a long stairwell, sneaking by security bots, but eventually stumbled on an open office. There, you found dioramas of prospective expansion yachts all across Bahumia, one of them hovering directly over Calder's village in the frigid north. More determined than ever to stop Mothership, you headed deeper into the yacht and found the secret S-class laboratory full of dead knights from the recent slaughter. There, you met Beatrix and had a tense standoff before successfully convincing her that you weren't with Mothership. However, she did react strongly when Glenn's name was brought up.
We're not with him either.
We're with Glenifer, not
I
Glenn.
I can't believe it came up.
First time ever, really. Well, Glenn's been brought up once or twice, maybe, but she seems to have had an even worse time with Glenn than Calliope. Her order, the Order of the Ruby Scale, had provided shelter for his group, the Order of the Emerald Scale, only to be betrayed, resulting in the death of Beatrix's dragon, Laverix, and her comrades. She joined Mothership to get revenge against the other dragon elves, only to be betrayed once more with the S-class brainwashing and subsequent slaughter. Now, on a one-woman quest for revenge, Beatrix once again donned the red mask of her order and set out to invade the Ariat. You guys were able to get through to her, and she agreed to help you locate Alexandrite's core to stop the S-class program for good. Before you could leave, though, you were interrupted by our old friends, Stardunk, Jazzler, and Todd, who burst from nearby test tubes. Stardunk and Jazzler looked nervous, but a projection of Patina sent them into sleeper agent mode with the phrase, "Your objective is to secure the mothership," which prompted the trio to go wide-eyed and awoke all the bodies in the nearby tubes. And that's where we are now.
Wait, shit. So just Stardunk and Jazzler looked nervous?
Just, well, Todd also looks to be taken over by the sleeper agent thing, but he was cool with the weird lab to begin with.
Todd has no qualms.
Okay. Todd has no qualms.
Got it.
I think this is fine.
He's qualmless.
God, he's so free. It's attractive.
You hear the shattering of nearby test tubes and a cacophony of groans as the S-classes spring to life. They are like grabbing at you from nearby tubes and standing in perfect formation. Stardunk and Jazzler point up at Todd, who spins his axe.
Go, go, Team Tekton! Tekton serve! We have the power of friendship and zombies on our side!
What?
Damn, we need a call and response thing. Okay, we're working on that as soon as this is over.
We need just a fraction of their confidence, honestly.
Yeah, we've got Team Duck. We fucking suck.
Yeah, go, go, Team Duck. We fucking suck.
Beatrix looks at you guys unblinkingly and just goes, "Did you just say that you suck?"
Yeah. It's a kind of our
like
thing.
A punk rock thing.
All right.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we say it so they can't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
When we say we suck, we all breathe in. We go, it's kind of our thing.
That's new.
That's new, but I've got to embrace it. Yep, that's what we do.
Beatrix nods knowingly. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Okay. Oh dear.
Okay. I got a 10.
12.
Calliope's in heaven with 7.
Oh, oh no.
7th heaven.
Heaven.
Yeah, Calliope's from a big religious family.
Oh my god. How has this never come up?
Isn't that what 7th heaven was about?
I think so.
I think it's because there's 7 of them, right?
Yeah, I don't know that they're super religious. No, isn't the dad the dad's a pastor?
Yeah, yes. They're a priest.
At initiative 25, you guys see Beatrix turns to you guys and goes, "If you can handle Todd, I'll defeat the twins and blow up the lab."
Yeah,
that sounds great. Honestly, Todd's the one
like
that I'm most worried about.
Bum deal for you, but yeah, let's do it.
Everyone versus Todd. Love it.
If you need a potion, they're in the duck.
Can I unhinge his jaw and open him up like an ice chest?
You see the frost from icy cool potions inside of him coming off.
Oh, did you add that, Calder?
You see, she holds a torch in front of her and breathes in, then unleashes an explosive flamethrower breath.
Cool, you're doing the breathe-in thing. That's exactly right.
Duck team fucking sucks! And breathes fire out.
It sounded like you meant it.
I know, I was going to say it kind of hurts coming from someone else.
I meant it as like, I thought that was, we were all on the same side. Okay.
I love it.
You see Jazzler and Stardunk go to shield themselves with their crackling blue plate as Todd rolls out of the way towards you guys. You see the fire roasts a bunch of nearby zombies, and very quickly a fire catches as a series of small explosions start to go up. You immediately start to, like, your vision gets a little hazy from all the fumes and gas. Oh. You hear, like, pipes bursting and things like that. She gives you a thumbs up.
Yeah, I give her a cool thumbs up.
It's fucking unhinged, and I'm here for it.
It's absolutely sucks.
How about we add a little lightning to the mix, huh?
Guys, this is a level of messy we can only aspire to.
Beatrix runs in and engages Stardunk and Jazzler. Twin style! You see Jazzler and Stardunk do a pose and then start fighting Beatrix. They're moving lightning quick throughout the lab. They seem to be kind of evenly matched. And then Todd rolls over to you guys. You see this giant moose man is somehow able to pop his pecs through the plate. So huge and jacked.
Did you have your plate specially made so you could still pop?
I did. It needs to be form-fitting, nice and sleek.
And you see he starts to move around and you can still see his perfect body under it. You see his axe. He holds it out and he kind of pulls it apart. It's like this magic weapon. And it looks kind of more like a polearm, almost like a halberd. And he begins kind of spinning it back and forth, almost like a bow staff, like lightning fast. Takes an attack position as you guys go to engage him. There's fire all around you in the lab, but nobody acts first. What happens first is at initiative 20, there is a lair action.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You see zombies burst out from nearby tubes. A lot of them have like metal casing over the glass, so it's not easy for them to get out. They're pulling themselves out through these like circular viewing windows and scraping up against the glass, just like forcing their bodies through. So they're attempting to like grab you and pull you back to like grapple you. Everybody give me a strength saving throws as you try to fight them off.
I don't want to go in the tube.
Get in the tube.
Oh, man, I might have to.
You boobs need to get in the tube.
Points at the tube. You hear the air swiping as he points towards the tube.
Okay, guys, you got to wait until he poses. That's when you need to strike.
Yes, wide open under his armpit as he poses.
That's a 12 for Calliope.
12 is a fail. You see, Calliope is grabbed and pulled back by zombies behind her. They're going to take a bite attack as one like gets an arm and his head out and tries to bite into her. That's only a 14 to hit. So
misses.
You are grappled. So you're at zero speed right now, but you're wrestling this thing away. You've got like your hand on its face.
I also failed. I got an 11.
Jeez. Okay. Calder, you get grabbed, pulled back. They're going to try to take a bite on you. Jesus Christ, a nat 20.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. If he's in the tube next to me, though, can I protection paladin?
I will allow that. I'll say you guys were right next to each other.
Disadvantage.
So, Callie, yeah, you're pulled back. As you're wrestling with this dude, you pull up the umbrella and you extend it.
I have zero speed, but I've still got an umbrella.
You still got an umbrella.
Hell yeah.
Extend it out in this zombie's face. Nat 4. You stop the nat 20. You get right in the zombie's face as it's about to bite Calder, but you are still trapped for the time being.
Thank you for preparing for the weather, Kelly.
Saul, what'd you get in your strength save?
It was looking like rain.
I got a 16.
16, you roll out of the way. You are not grabbed.
Guys, I'm using up all my moisture. It's very hot in here.
And then at initiative 12, Saul, you are first, believe it or not.
Wow.
It looks like Todd has been spending way too much time posing. You just hear constant wind sounds.
Crescent axe formation.
Oh, you have to breathe in.
He's got plates on his butt, too, and they're equally jiggly. Everyone stay clear of his ass.
Is he hiding another weapon back there?
Okay, so I have 4 HP, so if
not
it's
good.
Cool with the rest of Duck Team, I am going to suck down one of these potions.
Okay. somebody had actually, this was back on bonus content, I think, on Owlbear Cave. Somebody pitched a cool rule that I like, which is that if you drink a potion as an action, I'll say you get the full HP for it. You don't have to roll. If you do a bonus action, then you have to roll.
Oh, that's great.
It's so almost like you're taking your time. You're taking it. It's like a magical concoction. You're almost casting a full spell on yourself instead of a really quick one.
Drink every
drop. So you're like pouring yourself a nice cocktail.
You're pouring yourself a nice cocktail, but that's up to you. You might decide it's not worth it to get 5 extra HP and not get to attack.
I think this is actually great because I can attack with a bonus action. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just act like I'm in a potion commercial, and I'm going to take Foster, and I'm going to shake him like he's a cocktail shaker, and then just kick back a potion right in front of Todd, toss Foster out of the way, and then slam into the ground with my gauntlet, activating it and causing force damage to Todd.
Oh, sick. You pound into the ground as Todd poses. He's going to go ahead and do a dexterity saving throw.
As I see this whole show, I go to Calder, and I'm like,
I don't even need a potion, but I'm like kind of craving a potion now, right? That was like good advertising.
I like wasn't thirsty.
Saul Buffo says, suck one of these.
I wasn't thirsty when he started, but I'm parched now.
Yeah.
And as I say that, I catch the duck.
Todd does fail the dexterity saving throw. You see, as you punch into the ground and there's this astral force coming out, Todd takes way too long going, get you on the flip side. Reaches down, but by the time he does his flip, he's already taken the damage. So go ahead and do your damage.
As I do the damage, I say, drink Bufola Cola. It heals you for full.
Whoa.
Seven damage.
Seven damage. Okay.
Okay. Now my gauntlets are active, and I'm going to drink the greater healing potion, if that's okay with everyone.
It's all yours.
That's going to be 24 points of healing. That's great for me.
Ooh.
Sick. Mm-hmm.
This commercial is working.
You've just done this force damage to Todd. Kind of anime style. You see the ground moves as he slides back.
Pretty good, but didn't even make a scratch.
I mean, there's a crack down your butt.
That was always there.
Covers his butt.
Doesn't everyone have that?
looks around, can't tell because everyone has armor on.
I lean into it. You have a crack in your butt?
How else do you guys shit?
How many butt cheeks do you have? We all have one. One big cheek.
One big cheek.
No.
The fact that cheeks is usually plural is weird.
You're lying.
Two.
Saul pulls down his pants to show that he's got no ass.
Impossible.
After Saul, that's Calder's turn.
Hell
Let's
yeah.
Let's see if we can extend that ass crack a little bit longer.
So, Calder, you are grappled at the moment.
Oh.
I say that line anyway to a bunch of zombies.
All right. I'm going to use Ice Knife. So while I'm surrounded by zombies, I am just going to inhale really quickly and then exhale ice particles in Todd's direction.
Sweet. He tries to make another dex save.
Catch you on the flip side.
Yes.
Tries to flip out of the way. That's another natural three. Flips after being hit with a knife.
I feel like he's out of touch with his own stats.
I think it might be harder for you to flip since you're dealing with two asses.
No, I have the regular amount of asses.
Ooh, that's good. And then 2d6 gold. That's 17 damage from ice knife.
Sick. Yeah, you see a knife lodges right into his shoulder as he does another flip.
Classic suck and chuck. Great work, Calder.
We suck. We chuck. Fuck you.
And he never fucks. That's Doug DeVirgin for you.
That's me.
After Calder's turn, Calder, you are free from this zombie. So you do break free at the end of your turn. So you essentially wrestle this knife
That's
out,
good.
Throw it into Todd. Shards explode out and hit him, and you escape from the zombie. At initiative 10, tied with Calder, though, you guys are going to potentially take fire damage. It's a +6 to hit on the first round. It's just one attack against everyone. You guys try to dodge out of the way as flames lick at you. First one will go after Saul. That's a 10 to hit. Misses. You're dodging out of the way. Not a lot of fire around you. Calder, you go to move out of the way. I'll say fire consumes the zombie that was grabbing onto you as you roll forward.
Yeah, take that.
You had nothing to do with that.
Points.
I do fire all the time.
That's only a 13 to hit. Misses you. Callie, fire's going to go after you. 13 misses. God, I'm rolling for shit.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, Callie, their fire starts to like come out near you, and you literally kick your feet up while you're wrestling with this guy. He's got you like backpacked, and you put your feet up on a nearby thing and get out of the way.
Sick.
I feel like Callie is becoming a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you want a singlet?
I'd love one.
After
I'll knit you one.
After the fire at initiative 7, that's Calliope.
Okay.
So you're still grappled.
So I would have to use an action to get ungrappled.
Some kind of shove attack, something to get you out of.
Then I think I'm just going to try a first level command on Todd and say, grovel.
Oh, nice.
And then the target falls. If he gets a wisdom save,
Okay.
Or on his next turn, he follows the... It's not ideal because I come after him in it, but on his next turn, he follows the thing, which Grovel, the target, falls prone and then ends its turn.
Holy shit. Okay, he will go ahead.
Apologize for your weird ass.
Wisdom saving throw.
Grovel. Prostrate thyself.
Prostrate.
Prostrate thy prostate.
18.
That passes.
Passes.
All right, here's all I could do in this
Damn.
Position.
What could have been?
Poses and covers his ass. I'm not hiding anything. That is, unfortunately, Todd's turn. So Todd has our boy Saul right up in his face.
Yeah.
So he's going to go ahead and swing his pole arm around.
Windmill trip.
And he's going to make an attack on you. You see, he uses it like a bow staff and tries to swing your legs out from under you. That's only a 16 to hit.
Misses.
Saul, you jump out of the way. You backflip.
Impossible.
Ha.
Dodge this. Crush it. Swipe.
And he's going to
stop announcing things.
Swing with the axe side of it.
Yeah, you're really ceding an advantage to your opponents.
Axe side of it, I'm rolling like shit. Is a 16 to hit?
Misses again.
Yeah, duck that time and get out of the way.
Todd Gore!
And he's just going to try to ram you with his fucking head on the last attack. That one is a fucking nat 20.
Ooh.
That's a bad one.
Saul says, what does gore mean in this context? Ah!
Todd leans down, rushes at you, picks you up with his antlers, and slams you into a nearby wall with a crit. That is 25 damage off the bat.
Okay.
And then we're going to roll a d6 to see what his gore does as he very haphazardly just like shatters into something.
Okay.
Saul, go ahead and roll me a d6.
Oh.
I'll tell you a 6 is actually good.
Oh, great. I'll just get a 6 then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, I got a 4. So I'm sure that's pretty good too.
On a 4, Todd gores you into a nearby test tube, shattering it and cutting your back with glass for an additional 1d8 damage. So I'll roll the 1d8.
Come on.
Oh,
don't get it. On.
That's only 2.
Yes! Yes!
Todd gores you into this glass. It shatters. You feel it cut into your back, but you stay up. You feel him forcing you into the tube.
Stay down.
Next time, try not announcing what you're doing. And I kiss him.
Whoa. Impossible.
After Todd, that is back up to the top of the round. At initiative 20, that is another lair action. From deeper in the lab, you guys just hear chaos all around you. You see Stardunk and Jazzler are going back and forth with Beatrix. Twin tornadoes! Spinning around, doing all these anime moves as you guys see from deeper in the lab, a giant zombie is on fire and just flailing around, half trying to attack people and half just maintaining their instincts and trying to put themselves out. You see its monostone is glowing and it looks like it's making itself grow to try to protect itself, but it's lost control of its magic. As the fire overwhelms it, it takes swings at each one of you as it sort of like tornadoes by.
That's scary.
Oh, no thanks.
First attack on Saul. That one's a 23 to hit.
That does hit.
Uh-oh.
That's 9 damage on Saul.
Yep. Saul is down.
Okay. You see this zombie swipes at Saul just as he's recovering from his fight with Todd. Then it is going to swing at Calder.
Oh, boy.
That is only a 15 hit. Calder misses.
That'll miss.
And then that is a 23 to hit Callie.
It misses.
No, it
doesn't. Amazing.
Just a little AC humor.
then it's 10 damage on Callie. You see this thing keeps moving through the lab, starts just breaking stuff, trying to pull like liquid from a nearby tank to put itself out.
I mean,
out.
Does it take a swing on Todd?
No, because it's on Todd's side.
Remember, we said we have the power of friendship and zombies on our side.
They did explicitly state that. They're very good at telling us what's happening.
Right.
Points at it.
That guy's on fire.
After the lair action, that is Saul's turn. Saul, I'm going to need you to make a death saving throw.
Mm.
You guys see Saul greatly injured near this broken glass tube. Todd stands over him and turns and faces Calder and Callie.
Quick point of clarification, Murph. Can I use a bardic on a death save?
I see no reason not to. Even if that's not allowed, I'm going to allow it.
Oh, thank you. All right, well, hopefully I won't need to. Let's roll the dice.
If Todd can use the power of friendship, so can you.
I'm going to use the power of friendship because I rolled a 3. Okay. There's no way. It's a D6. Yeah. I'll hold on to that bardic for next time, but that's one death fail.
Oh, boy.
You see, the glass seemed like it didn't do as much damage at first, but it is causing Saul to bleed out. He's got like a pretty bad wound here.
Yeah.
After Saul's turn, that is Calder's turn.
All right. I am going to ice skate over to Saul. I have already caught Foster. The duck is under my arm. And I'll open his mouth like a Pez dispenser and deliver a frozen potion to my boy.
Sweet. As you pour the potion into Saul's mouth, Todd looks at you and goes,
"Wait, you have the power of friendship as well?"
Yeah, and I only have one ass. And I'm going to action surge or action surge.
Show him your whole ass.
Sick. You still have your action, so you can just do 4 attacks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's only a bonus action to use the potion.
All right, perfect. So I will action surge. I'll take my 4 attacks.
Sick. You see, Saul has gone down. You, with a fury, sprint at Todd. Todd kind of smirks, holds up his polearm as you go toe-to-toe with him.
Does a 17 hit?
17 does not hit. Great, you hit the side of his crackling blade.
Neither will the 16.
16 misses.
That is an 18 hit.
18 hits.
Great. 13 damage. And only another 17 to hit.
Last one misses.
Ouch.
1 out of 4. Not bad. You might actually be C-class.
I do suck.
Don't listen to this two-cheeker.
Double ass.
It's normal. It's normal stuff, guys.
After Calder's turn, that is the fire. The fire has upped one time, so the fire's going to get 2 attacks on everybody this time. We'll go ahead and go against Saul first. Only a 15 hits Saul. Saul gets out of the way, rolls out of the way of like a fiery piece of debris that comes down.
Yeah.
Next bit of fire is at Calder. That one's an 18 to hit you, Calder.
I'll shield.
Shield.
Nice.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. You're good for the round. A shield goes up, extinguishes that part of the fire.
A frozen wall.
Next one goes at Callie. Callie, that is going to hit you. That's a 22 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Just 2 damage, but actually it does get 2 attacks on everybody. So Saul again. 19 to hit you that time, Saul.
That's my AC.
Okay. 3 damage.
Okay, cool.
Oh, boy.
Just licks me.
Callie, 11 hit misses, and Calder, 16 hit misses.
Yeah.
Okay. After the fire, that is Calliope's turn.
Okay. Thank you for using my full name.
We may be enemies, but we can still respect each other.
What's your full name?
Todd.
Toddifer? Okay. Can I look at the spell jammer? I think that, okay, here's what I'm thinking is, like, if I can see his mana stone, and I saw that other guy and his mana stone was freaking out, could I hit his mana stone with this spell jammer and try and, like, take away his magic or something like that?
Wow.
I think I'm thinking of, what's the thing that puts the virus in Alexandrite?
That's a modify memory spell, but I will say, you bring up that idea, I'll say you're kind of asking that to, like, Ma Goblin.
Undernin, I've had inspiration.
Talking into my infected ear.
Undernin, over and out. Yes, if you can get the jammer close to Todd, I can see what I can do on my end.
Can I also, like, use it like a weapon and smite through it?
Yeah, it's like, it looks like a wand, essentially. It's got, like, a gem on the end of it.
A wand,
so here is what I will say.
Yeah.
Your paladin smites are basically reflavored
like arcane
mothership
smites.
Arcane smites. That's how it's working in this world.
Yeah.
Ma Goblin will effectively do like a hacking roll as you hit him with this thing. Instead of doing damage, it will do a status effect on him, but the smite will do damage. So you won't do weapon damage. You'll just do smite damage. It's almost like you're holding a wand out and doing an arcane blast slash, like, trying to fuck with his monostone.
Are you doing a hacking smite?
That's a hacking smite, essentially, yeah.
Hacking smite. Okay. Oh, I really want to hit. Okay. Calliope, get it together. I look him straight dead in the eye, and I'm fucking ready. Does a 19 hit?
19 does hit.
Yes!
Yeah!
You see, he doesn't recognize it as a jammer, and he's got his monostone, like, on the back of his gauntlet. It looks like it's probably connected to his hand, and the gauntlet is kind of built around that. So you see this glowing gem as he puts his gauntlets in front of his face to, like, block you, and you just go straight for the monostone. So you go to hit it. Go ahead and do your smite damage, and then we'll do a roll for Ma Goblin to see what she can do to him.
Doing a third-level smite. Hacking smite from arcane to hacking.
Put those fingerless gloves to good use.
23 damage.
23 nice. Damage. Sick. Yeah, you hold this jammer out. He goes to guard it as if it's like a rod, like that's your like melee weapon. But then there's this burst of arcane energy. He leans back. Go ahead and give me a roll for Ma Goblin. Give me a d20.
Nice. This is so cool.
11. On the dice.
Okay, so you see that as you connect with Todd's monostone, you see it like, looks like it's short circuiting or something. You see like lightning all around it. Ma Goblin is essentially going to use your connection to him in like conjunction with the summoning scroll you gave her a while back. She's going to be able to do like targeted banishments on his weapon.
Great.
This will effectively give him like disadvantage on specific attacks. 11 is like a middling success. So on the next two attacks he makes, he'll do it with disadvantage. Effectively, like, he starts to get banished and his, like, axe and his arm start to, like, disappear and, like, fade out and become, like, translucent as they go, like, through you.
Oh, hell yeah.
So she's, like, half banishing him.
Hacking smile.
And then can I close the distance so I can get near Saul, give him another potion, do a little tummy smack on Foster to spit up another potion into Saul as a bonus action, and also get within 5 feet of Saul.
Are you sure that we shouldn't conserve these?
I'm sure. Ooh, I rolled a 4. I rolled 2 4s for you, babe!
You're sick.
Okay.
That's the refreshing taste of Bufola Cola right there.
So that's 12. That's 12, right? Yeah.
12 points of healing? Yes. Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Callie. So that puts us at 1 healing potion left, I believe, unfortunately.
Saul, you're looking incredible.
I know, we only have 1 left, but I really feel like we need to keep you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to conserve you, not the healing potions.
Yeah, yeah.
Callie, as you do this hacking smite and then reach down and fill up Saul with this potion, Saul bounces back up. You see that is Todd's turn. Moves the staff around.
I don't know what you've got planned, but I don't like the way you use your power of friendship.
He's going to go ahead and try to do a tripping attack against you. You see, as he swings his pole arm at you, Callie, from the back, trying to like hook your leg, you do see his weapon is fading in and out as if it's being called to like Ma Goblin's ship.
You're getting a bit glitchy.
So he's going to roll with disadvantage.
Okay.
That's a natural 3. Misses. You feel,
yes.
You see it starts to connect. Like, you guys are looking.
I
and
hop
you see
it like hopscotch.
It goes right through Callie.
What is this? Are you some kind of projection? Impossible. That hit was dead on.
Yeah, I'm a projection of your deepest desires. I also kiss him.
What?
You're all,
what is happening?
You're all so horny.
He is going to swing back around and take an axe attack on you, Callie, this time also with disadvantage.
All right, all right.
Natural 4 on the lower one, misses,
yes!
Swings right through you.
Damn it! Damn this axe! Swings it, catches it between his butt cheeks. That's just the one cheek!
Leans his head down.
Ew, how are you doing that?
Leans his head down.
Todd Gore!
And is going for a gore attack against Callie. And
Callie,
this,
watch out.
This one he makes flat. That one is a 21 to hit.
Hits.
Okay. First, we'll do the damage, and then we'll do a D6 to see what kind of wreckage Todd does. So you see, he does not provoke any opportunity attacks. This is part of his move. Picks up Callie with his antlers and goes and slams her into some nearby machinery. Only 9 damage on the gore. Didn't roll great, but go ahead and roll me a D6.
2.
Callie. As Todd slams you into the wall, his horn breaks a nearby pressurized pipe, sending steam shooting out at you. Go ahead and give me a con saving throw.
7.
That's a fail. Callie, you are blinded by this steam until the end of your next turn.
Okay.
After Todd, that is back up to the lair action. At initiative 20, the zombies that originally burst through the glass viewing windows have torn their bodies to shreds. They've essentially just like pulled themselves out of the holes. They launch themselves out and attempt to like backpack themselves onto you. Everyone go ahead and give me dex saving throws.
All right.
Is this a grappling check?
Yeah, they're trying to grab you.
Awesome. I get to roll those with advantage.
Cool.
All right, 17.
Okay, you pass.
All right, I rolled a 2 and a 3.
Okay.
Shout out, respectively.
I have 14.
14. 14 actually passes. So, yeah. Callie, you don't have to see. You feel this guy, like, going to grab at you and latch on, and you grab his wrist and just throw him off you. Calder, you're able to dodge him entirely, but Saul, you feel... grabs onto your back.
I don't have any moisture in my body.
Good job, partner.
And this zombie is going to make a bite attack on you, Saul, and is continuing to hang on.
No, my skin's so dry. Don't bite me. Oh, it's so brittle.
Only does 4 damage, but does hit.
Okay.
After the lair action, Saul, that is your turn.
So can I repeat the throw to get away from the zombie?
You have to do a shove attack. You have to like get him to move some footage.
But you have multiple attacks though, right?
Yeah,
so you could use one shove attack and then attack.
I need to reactivate my gauntlets because I died for a second. So I'm just going to go ahead and try and lift up both of my hands, activate my gauntlets, and clap this zombie to try and just blast them with energy.
Okay.
So that'll be a DC 15 dex save for the zombie.
Oh, sweet. Zombie does not have good dex. You blow this thing right off. You smack your hands up. You see a big chunk of this thing's shoulder bursts as the arcane gauntlets come up and falls off of you.
Great. And then I am going to, realizing my position as a guy with not much HP, I'm going to run at Todd, punch him a bunch, and then continue running with my full movement to try and get behind something where Todd can't see me.
Okay.
I'm going to do a drive-by
so
punching.
Brave.
Oh, man, I think he was grossed out by your asses.
I just go, ah! I put my hands in the air like Kermit the Frog waving my gauntlets, just absolutely punch the shit out of him, and then continue running towards the biggest piece of machinery I can find.
Impossible. I don't recognize this form.
I'll take my first attack.
Great.
It's a natural 1.
Yikes.
I certainly do not get to reroll that, sadly.
I don't understand its form, but it looks like shit.
You're just jealous of our friendship. Okay, so that's going to be a 19 to hit.
19 hits.
Let's see. 6 damage right there.
Okay.
I think that's all I can do this turn, because I've already used my bonus action. I will continue using my movement to get out of range of Todd.
Great. So you kind of start running in the opposite direction. I'll say you get a half cover. You get +2 AC as you like round a corner.
Great.
After Saul's turn, that's Calder's turn.
All right. Cool. I can still see Saul, so I wink at him.
Did you just wink at someone?
Turns.
Wait, there he is.
No.
Points.
No.
Hey.
Shit. I'll take my 2 attacks. That is a 24.
That hits. As he turns and points at Saul, you just see a big, meaty haunch, like that muscle that connects like your ribs and your shoulder.
Your armpit muscle?
Yeah, or I guess like a lat.
Yeah.
Like just armpit muscle. Beefy lat, like the wings.
Dude, how many lats do you have?
just the regular amount.
What's the regular to you? Let's say 1, 2, 3.
I don't know.
One.
I don't know. Uh-huh. How many horns do you have? Not enough. That's the answer.
I put on my my antlered helm.
Oh, your helm? Oh, yeah. You guys go helm to helm.
Oh my God, lock horns.
Yes.
Oh my, Calder Gore.
That's a 25 on my second attack.
I did
both hit. 15 plus 13.
28 damage.
Sick. You lock horns with him. You put on your helm. You ram into him. He sort of pushes back. He had been concentrating on Callie. You swipe into him twice. You see he starts to bleed from under his armor and sort of clutches his chest.
Ugh!
Yeah, if you were expecting a kiss, that's not how Doug Divergent does things.
I know your real name, Calder.
Oh, shit. Guys, run.
Play it cool, Calder.
And you see he does a little sly smile, and he goes,
I'm sure you've seen it, sneaking around here. But soon, Mothership will reach the frigid north. and your family can wave to me from below while I stand atop the deck.
Never. Not the frigid north.
After Calder's turn, that is the fire attacks. It is upped once again. But I will say, you guys see that a lot at this point, a lot of the accelerants and a lot of the explosions and stuff have kind of already happened. The fire's gotten about as bad as it's going to get because there are like sprinklers going off at this point. Mm-hmm. And it looks like three attacks is about what the fire is going to end up at. So you see that the sprinklers are starting to like calm things down. There are some things that are smoldering, but there's still fire all around you. So three attacks on everyone. We'll go after Calder first.
Right.
18 on the highest one.
That is my AC.
Okay. Ugh. 6 damage, Calder.
All right.
Saul, 3 misses.
Great.
And then Callie, 21 on the highest one, 17 on the second highest one.
17 misses.
17 misses, okay. 3 damage, Callie. Okay. Callie, after the fire, that is your turn.
Okay, so I'm blinded. I guess I just attack with disadvantage.
Great.
With the, I take out the spell jammer and I just really indiscriminately, I say, Calder, get out of the way!
Whoa.
And that is a nat one. Because
nat
of
one,
course.
Okay.
Ow, you hit me in the face with the jammer.
You pierced his other ear.
Shit.
But since Todd is no longer engaged with me, can I use my movement to take some cover as well?
Yeah. Okay, I'll say you use your movement kind of...
just from Todd.
Got it, just from Todd. So literally Calder and Todd are locking horns. So after Callie's turn, Callie...
It's like a nature documentary.
You're able to get your wits back about you.
my vision comes back and I just see Calder's red face where I hit him with the spelljammer.
Just a perfect imprint of the spelljammer.
That really hurt.
Todd's really hurting you, isn't he?
That was you. You clocked me.
Calder, you're just so honest.
You see on Todd's turn, he looks at you, Calder, and smiles and goes,
finally a challenge. Maybe you could have made A class, but let's not forget, I'm S class.
All right, well, just be careful because I have an infected ear and it's not exactly a fair fight. Just avoid the ear.
Stop telling the truth, Calder.
It's the left one.
You see, in one perfect movement, he snaps his chest plate off as he pushes it onto the ground and it crashes and there's almost like an earthquake.
No.
with how heavy his chest plate was.
Damn.
You see, he's got all these slashes and cuts from where you guys were able to find holes in his armor. And you see he swings the pole arm around and looks to be moving faster, but his AC has gone down.
Oh, sick.
Let's see how you can handle the power of friendship, the power of zombies, and the power of Todd Speed!
Dude, you only have one belly button. What the fuck?
How many do you have?
I have 3.
What?
Yeah, the normal amount.
Callie, minor illusion.
On his first attack, you see, spins the pole arm around.
Let's try this again. Windmill trip!
Is going to try to hit you first. Does successfully hit you. That's only 9 damage, but he hits the back of your knee. Go ahead and give me a dex saving throw or you're going to be knocked prone.
Okay. That's only a 10.
You guys see Calder's legs are swept out from under him as he rapid fire goes ahead and takes another 2 strikes into Calder with advantage.
Oof.
Next one,
stunning stick.
Stunning stick?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Rethink that.
What is it supposed to be?
Nothing. It's
what else
the
could it be?
Do a lot of like alliteration. It's a little more creative.
What else could it possibly be named?
I can hear someone being like, "My, you've got such a stunning stick."
And what would that be referring to?
I mean, arresting axe? I don't know. I don't know why we're workshopping this for
a manual
you.
Manual car.
All right, goofballs, I crit.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Stunning crit.
That's 17 damage to you, Calder.
I'm going to use Stone's Endurance and, oh, fuck yeah, shrug off 12.
Sick.
Of that.
Calder, yes. You feel him. He goes for like a liver shot to kind of like shut down your body to like effectively make you incapacitated for a moment, goes and hits you. As he goes to hit you, you hold your hands up and make like a little bit of ice, and it shatters and takes a little bit of the hit. But go ahead and give me a con saving throw, or else you're going to be dazed.
16.
16 passes. So you're able to keep it together. You are still prone, though. He is going to go ahead and do one more staff strike before Todd Gore.
God damn it.
That's a 23 to hit with advantage.
Ow, my ear.
That's just 7 damage on that one.
Right.
That's just a regular attack. And then he's going to go ahead and gore you. I'm gonna say you don't have to, since you're prone, higher chance of him hurting you worse, but I'm gonna say he's not gonna be able to push you into a wall or something because you're down. So he's just kind of boring into the ground.
Great. That's good.
So Todd Gore just shoves his face into you, just fucking literally locks horns with you. Oh, ow. Shit. That's only a 13.
Yes, that misses.
Yeah, so just two fucking linemen going at it. You start to lean up as you crack into him with your helm, and you see literally lock horns and are wrestling back and forth.
So good.
As these two lock horns, that is the lair action again. You guys see the giant zombie that had been on fire before has finally stopped its rampage. You see it has crashed into some nearby equipment and is pulling it down on top of themselves, trying to put out the fire. The equipment like falls down onto him, and as he's pinned under it, it begins to rapidly expand. You see its skin tightens as its innards balloon, and it eventually explodes, shooting hot, stinking guts all over the room. Everybody go ahead and give me con saving throws.
Okay.
Wow.
Calliope is definitely having character bleed with Glenifer Sky Days, and she's thinking hot, stinking guts sounds like a good app name.
Disgusting.
They fire it at you from a gun.
That's a 22 for Calliope.
Okay.
It's going to be an 8 for Saul. I'm wondering if I should use my bardic here.
Best you could get would be a 14, right?
That seems bad.
I will tell you guys that will pass if you get a 14.
Oh. Yeah, I think I'm going to go for it.
Okay.
Maybe. Fuck. That's a 12 total.
12 just fails. So Saul and Calder, begin retching. I'm going to say this one is not like a controlled zombie attack, so Todd will actually have to roll as well. But Todd successfully passes it. He gets a 15.
Okay.
So Calder and Saul, you guys are poisoned. You guys have disadvantage on attacks. Callie, you are good. You passed.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Frogs drink through their skin. I just drank that through my skin.
Beatrix looks at you guys. Did one of you guys beef?
I look at Calder because that's the one. Did you, Calder? Was that you?
Honestly.
We can't beef. We only have one ass cheek between the three of us.
Saul, that's your turn.
Okay, so I'm poisoned.
You're hurt.
You're hiding.
Okay, Saul, if you wanted to hold your turn for after mine, I can lay on hands you and neutralize that poison.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Sweet.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble for sure.
Here's the thing. I want to wait until Todd steps within my 10-foot range and just wail on him from behind this machinery. So I will hold my turn.
Okay.
Yeah, I turn to Callie and I point at my face and say, please moisturize me.
So dry.
Moisture is what I do best.
So Saul's going to hold his turn. Calder, that's your turn.
I think the ear infection is spreading to my stomach. It's all connected.
So I guess I'm going to take 2 attacks on Todd with disadvantage.
Sweet. Yeah, you get up. You're definitely feeling woozy.
Damn. 24 and 11 and an 11. So
yikes. You're swinging, but you're feeling sick. Ooh. You're slowing down. You guys see Todd moving deftly now that he doesn't have his heavy armor on.
That's a dirty 20 even with disadvantage.
Sick. That hits.
Hell yeah.
That hits.
And that is 15 damage.
Sweet. You cut right across Todd's chest, and you see he loses his composure for a moment.
Ugh. Whoa. You're right there, bud. Are you getting sick, too?
You cut me, dude.
Yeah, you gored me. Or tried to. Actually, you missed on the gore.
I know, but you cut me.
I'm also going to second wind.
Great.
Smart. Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Good. So you get some life back. Yeah. That is... The fire, unfortunately, is going to go ahead and take three cracks on everybody. Starting to die down, but there's still fire licking around every corner. First three against Calder. Two hits, 23 to hit.
All right. Yep.
8 damage total.
Didn't like it.
3 licks against Saul.
Licks of the flame.
No.
I put out my
licks.
Umbrella. I put out my umbrella.
Okay. Ooh. So one was going to be a crit. Shield him from
flames
it.
Flames lick against my fucking umbrella.
Flames lick against the umbrella. Yes. He is completely safe. Callie, you take...
Damn, that thing is durable.
2 hits on you, Callie.
Okay.
7 damage, Callie.
Okay.
Wish there was something I could do.
You see, Callie uses her umbrella to shield Saul as fire licks around the corner and does catch on her leg for a moment.
I can see that like a Renaissance painting.
Yeah. After the fire, that is Callie's turn.
Okay, I conjure up the oiliest little clouds and have them rain all over Saul. And it's lay on hands. I'm going to lay on hands for 9.
Sick.
So
9. Incredible.
So it's just 9 hit points, and it neutralizes your poison.
Sweet. Saul's looking slick again. Saul, you start to feel like yourself. You feel focused.
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask a question? So it's as an action. You can touch a creature to restore any number of hit points remaining in the pool or 5 hit points to either cure a disease or neutralize a poison affecting that creature.
So I think,
am I giving him hit points or am I just using 5 to neutralize it?
You spend 5 points to neutralize it. So you spend 5.
Okay, so you don't get any hit points. Okay. But I spend those 5 hit
Got
points
it. Okay.
to neutralize it.
Okay. So you neutralize the poison on Saul.
And then I say, go, Avadi. You're ready. You've got this.
You're moist now.
And then you wanted Todd over here, right?
Yeah.
And then I say, Todd, come and get him.
Looks over.
You want to see what real friendship looks like?
Points at you.
You're next.
But points at Calder.
But he's first.
Okay.
Go over there. They're calling you.
I'm literally tangled up in you. We're literally locking horns.
Now that I have had the poison filtered out of my skin, I look to Callie and I say, you know, frogs need their blood to be cold and their skin to be moist. And you and Calder have helped me achieve those two things. And now it's time for me to repay the favor.
Is that an actual thought?
And Saul jumps out from the hiding spot and is just going to unleash a barrage of punches on Todd.
Yeah.
Sick.
Careful of my ear.
You see, going back and forth with Calder turns and looks at you at the last second, but you're already on him. Go ahead and make your attacks.
You're going to have to lose your butt plates if you want to catch me.
Never. I shower with these.
They're so rusty.
17 to hit.
17 hits him in this form.
Oh,
nice.
In shirtless form.
All right, that's one hit. 19 to hit.
Hits.
I'll do a flurry of blows.
Sick.
Oh, yeah.
2 more attacks. 14 to hit.
Misses.
Okay. 22 to hit.
Hits.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So that's going to be 27 damage.
Damn, you fuck him right up. Saul, you get up in there with your astral gauntlets. You pound him in the face twice. You see, loses a tooth as his face swings around. Looks back
Jesus,
at you.
Jesus, how many teeth do you have?
However many teeth a moose has. Why do you have teeth at all?
Sweet. Todd is looking fucked up, but that is Todd's turn. He's once again going to go after, we'll say Calder first, since he's kind of locked up with him first.
Okay, this dick.
First one, he tries to do the trip. He swings at your feet.
Trip stick.
24 to hit.
Does.
Wait, that's good. I called it windmill trip, but trip stick.
Trip stick is better.
15 damage.
Good hit.
Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw or be knocked prone.
Shout out to the two crew.
Yikes. Calder falls onto his back. He makes the next 3 hits with advantage. Takes a
stunning stick.
Right.
Shout out to the two crew twice. Gets looks self-conscious as he says it, and you roll out
Great.
Of the way.
Can I use riposte on that then?
You sure can.
Great.
Yeah.
17 to hit.
Hits this form.
Woo!
Stab nice. Up into him. I'll say you grab a sidearm and stab him in the gut with an ice knife.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You don't want to fight me when I'm prone. That's 12 damage.
Well, welcome you took to the me prone to the prone zone.
We said the same joke.
Same joke.
Okay, that's two attacks. He gets stabbed, starting to bleed out, starting to look hurt and woozy. With fury in his eyes, takes a slamming strike on you. That one's a 24 to hit.
That'll do it.
Swings down. That one is just 8 damage.
Okay.
And then he's going to go ahead and turn to Saul for this gore to try to slam him into something. Because Calder, you're looking sick. You're like barfing. You're on the ground. Turns.
Hey. Saul lifts his gauntlets and prepares to catch the antlers.
You haven't finished with me yet?
You look pretty finished to me. Now you.
Calder, did you eat more poison dusted candy?
I'm going to be honest. Yes.
He can't lie. He always speaks with a cold clarity of truth.
That's a dirty 20 to hit Saul.
Sure will hit.
So he slams into you with a Todd Gore for just 8 damage.
Great.
But I need you to roll a d6 to see what he slams you into.
Come on, we deserve to see a 6. Come on.
Give me that 6. One time.
Fuck, shout out to the 2 crew.
Yikes. Okay. That is, once again, Tad slams you into the wall. His horn breaks a pressurized pipe. You get steam in your eyes. Go ahead and give me a con saving throw.
14?
14 just passes. Nice. So you are unaffected. So you just take the damage.
I cover my eyes with my nicotating membrane, and the steam cannot affect me.
Well, that's weird, right? Are we going to bring that up?
No, frogs have an extra eyelid.
Yeah, and I'm a fucking moose. And I'm a moose.
He's pretty normal.
And I'm a moose.
I don't think he's normal.
I don't know what you are, man. You're a very sick horse.
I'm also a moose.
After Todd's turn, that is back around to Saul.
Yeah, Saul's leaving it all on the court today. I got one more key point. I am going to do another flurry of blows and a standard attack. At the last moment, I managed to catch the antlers. I push Todd back, and I'm just going to blast into him, punching him right in his weirdly symmetrical nipples.
Sweet.
They're perfect. What's weird about being perfect?
Wait, you only have 2?
I know, sometimes perfection's creepy in itself. Yeah. Like a little nuance, idiosyncrasy.
Right, the amount's fine. They're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
No, what? They're right in the middle of the pack.
Oh, that's 21 on the first hit.
Hits.
Good.
Shout out to the 2 crew on the second hit.
Misses.
Shout out to the 4 doors. That's going to be 11. That's going to miss.
Okay.
Now, one more. There we go. That's going to be a 26 to hit.
Hits.
That's going to be 15 damage for Saul.
15 damage. Todd is looking very, very hurt. This is like an insane fight where he's literally slamming you against the wall as you're punching him in the head. Both of you are losing consciousness as you're like losing blood and he's losing blood. Just slam, slam, slam. Just both of you pulling from the depths.
Team Tetchin Todd versus the Iron Frog of Ezri. Show me what you got.
The Iron Frog.
Todd v. Frog.
After Saul's turn, that's Calder's turn. Calder,
okay.
You're prone, but you can definitely get up and reach them. You're still great. Feeling so sick.
Yeah, I'm going to stand up and puke into my helmet, then put it back on my head.
Disgusting.
I'm good. Nat 20.
Whoa!
Yes!
Yes! With disadvantage?
No.
No. Oh. Second
one.
I did get a 17. So
17 hits. Okay. It's still 17 hit. Hits with
it's
his armor off.
Sad that I didn't get the nat 20.
Dude, that's powering through.
I already have a thorn for the short rest, so that's good at least.
13 damage.
Calder, finish Todd.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I put on my helmet, ripping puke all over my face. And I say, you shouldn't have mentioned the frigid north. You can handle the heat, but you can't take the cold. Doug Gore.
And I'm going to charge him and gore him with my puke helmet.
You see Todd looks up, goes,
you're still fighting? Impossible.
Turns around, and you're already on him. You gore into him. Your helm pierces his chest. You see the antlers of your helm go up and get like under his ribs and stab into him. You hear popping, and he goes, as he struggles to breathe, you slam him into the wall and you just see him going to grab your wrists to like pull you off of him as you guys struggle back and forth.
His dad will not die.
Yeah,
That's what happens when you fight Doug, Glenifer, and Tater.
You swing your helm and toss Todd to the side as he drops to the ground.
I'm going to need someone to hose this helmet off.
Yeah, I make a small rain cloud over the helmet.
Thank you.
She's great at keeping things moist.
Then I take like a little biohazard bag and put it in.
Yes. So Todd is dead. You see, flops.
Long live Todd.
Flops to the floor. Todd is dead. Long live Todd. You do see that because he was given the order, your objective is to secure the mothership, that as you start to walk away from him, he is like a zombie. Like he goes to like grab your heel, Calder, and you guys had to like kick him off.
Can I park? I want to steal his mana stone.
Yeah, you go over.
Oh. I want to shove my umbrella in there and dislodge it and pocket it.
Go ahead and give me an attack roll.
25.
Yeah, you slash it right out. I'll say not like quite an arcane smite. You don't use a spell slot, but there's like a little explosion of energy.
Can we say that I dislodge it and then it goes up in the air and then I extend the umbrella and catch it in the bowl of the umbrella?
You catch his mana stone.
So sick.
It's just unnecessarily cool.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
I'll say you guys look around and you see that the fire of the lab has started to die down. The sprinklers have finally started to kind of win out. And at this point, everything that was like super explosive has already exploded. So things are kind of smoldering. But you do hear the clanging of steel as Beatrix fights Star Duncan Jazzler.
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
And we're going to go ahead and make a roll to see how that fight went / is going.
Okay.
So, we're going to do their attack rolls against each other. We're almost going to treat it like death saves. So each side needs 3 wins.
Ooh, so
we'll go kind of down the line. You guys can roll for Beatrix. Beatrix is going to have a +12 to this roll. These guys have a +8, but they roll with advantage. So the odds are slightly in Beatrix's favor. But if you guys roll catastrophically, there's a world where she's on death's door and you guys have to help fight fucking Jazzler and Stardunk.
We're also on death's door.
Which is bad. You know what? Let's just go and we'll go in initiative order. Saul, go ahead and roll for Beatrix.
Okay, here we go. I give you all of my future good rolls. That's a nat one.
Nat one. Okay. We're not going to say catastrophic failure. We're going to say that's a 13. We're going to say that's a 13.
All right.
So they roll with advantage. They got a 23. So Stardunk and Jazzler have one win.
They take the first round.
Jake, go ahead and give me a roll for Beatrix.
All right. That is a nat 20.
That is quite literally unbeatable for these guys.
That's how we do it, folks.
That is a win for Beatrix.
The highs and the lows.
Beatrix, insane. You keep it interesting, don't you?
Emily, go ahead and give me a roll for Beatrix.
Okay. 11.
11? Okay, so that's 23 versus their high roll, which was a 13, which is 21 versus 23. Beatrix wins. Beatrix wins.
Right. Yes!
So that's two in the win column for Beatrix versus one for Stardunk and Jazzler. Back around to Caldwell, unless someone Jesus wants to Christ. Roll for Caldwell.
No, he's due.
No, we keep it honest.
Okay, we keep it honest.
He's due.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Caldwell, go ahead.
All right, let me pick which dice I'm going to use. You know what? I'm going to go frog dice for this one, and I'm going to give it a big sloppy kiss.
Just don't make any more promises.
Really get all of my juices on it. That's going to be an 8.
Okay.
So a dirty 20?
Dirty 20 is going to win it. That is 3 in the win column for Beatrix. So I'll say, as you guys finish your battle, you guys still hear the clanging of steel. And your initial thought is like, oh shit, Beatrix, she's in trouble. But you look over and you see Stardunk is mortally wounded, has like a big chunk taken out of his side.
Oh, and you know that's going to emotionally fuck with Jazzler.
Well, they are both under a spell. They are both in like sleeper agent mode. So I'll say even you see like something is bleeding out, like it's like an Achilles heel situation. You see that Stardunk can't stand up but is dragging himself towards Beatrix and Jazzler and just mumbling to himself, my objective is to secure the mothership. My objective is to secure the mothership. And you see Beatrix at this point is just kind of toying with Jazzler. It's almost like an end of Return of the Jedi situation where it's like Jazzler just has her sword up and Beatrix is just clanging into it, just overpowering her, just knocking her back with each attack. Your eyes may be cloudy now, but you didn't open them when you had the chance. Did you? Did you? She just grabs Jazzler and throws her up against the wall, kicks her again, and is just beating the shit out of her.
Okay. Do we need to intervene, or is this like therapeutic for...
Okay, time out. Time out.
Okay, Tio.
Yeah, time out.
Tio.
Let's call it.
Let's regroup.
Let's call it. We win. You guys lose.
Yep, hit the showers.
Beatrix, I think that Jazzler could be valuable.
You see... Beatrix kicks Jazzler down. Jazzler, in any other kind of situation besides being in sleeper agent situation, would be done at this point. She looks pretty injured as well. I'll say Beatrix disarms her and just kind of holds her up against the wall and holds a sword to her and looks at you guys and goes, you would have mercy for these people.
I mean, it's actually not much mercy because the second she comes to, she's going to see her twin is dead. So, I think that you could interpret either outcome as mercy.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check.
21 persuasion.
Okay.
Beatrix, we don't need to work with them, but you can leave it here. We've won.
You've done enough.
She looks out at the kind of smoldering room, seeing her old allies. You see, she looks at Jazzler, kind of struggling in her arms, still trying to fight Beatrix. Beatrix looks at you guys and goes, I suppose in the rare instance when a battle ends and I still have allies standing, I should probably listen to them. Ha! You see, she... grabs Jazzler and just throws her across the room. Just Jazzler bashes into a wall and looks injured enough that she probably has some broken bones and continues to try to kind of like drag herself to go fight, but is for all intents and purposes incapacitated.
It's strategic, really, Beatrix, because now she'll go speak of what you've done here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Callie, do you think you could do a hacking smite on Jazzler to try and properly disarm her?
Yeah, maybe I could just dislodge their mana stones as well.
Yeah, might be safer that way.
Yeah, go ahead.
First one is a 26.
26 hits.
And then on Stardunk, only a 13.
Okay, I'll say you get up to Jazzler. Jazzler attempts to swing at you, but you slash into her. She also, I'll say, she has it like on her hand and like her gauntlet. You break it off and you grab onto it. But once you get close to Stardunk, he's still got enough fight left in him that as you go to swing into him, he starts just stabbing at you with his sword.
Whoa.
I think I can't help but see like the sibling thing and have my sort of sentimentality clouded by that.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of, can I do a medicine check on, this is so stupid and I know that it's so, it's just the sibling thing is totally like getting me.
No, I like this.
Kind of want to do a medicine check to, I don't want to bring Stardunk back, but I kind of want to like stop up his mortal wound.
Yeah.
I look to Doug and Tater and just say like, I have like kind of a fraught relationship with my sister and I can't help but be a little bit sentimental about these siblings who care so much about each other. Can I do something really ill-advised? And I sort of like get some healing waters in my hands and hold them towards the mortal wound and like look for approval.
I blow gingerly on them to cool them off. And I say, if we go around destroying people, we're no better than mothership ourselves.
Okay.
Use your healing oils.
Okay. Then I get like sort of like gauzy clouds. So it looks like it would be used for first aid, but it's clouds. And then I want to try to like stop up this mortal wound.
Sweet. I'll say that as soon as you take the monster.
And I want to try to catch Jazzler's eye as I do it. It started out sincere, but I am like, well, might as well have her see this.
Yeah. So I'll say that you've plucked Jazzler's monostone from her, which leaves behind like a big wound. It's essentially like, it's like ripping off someone's fucking tattoo or something. So she comes to like screaming and grabbing at her hand, but she, her eyes are clear now. She seems to be out from under the spell and she looks up and she goes, what have you done? What have we done?
You sided with wrong people. And then I want to try to stop this mortal wound on
Sweet.
Stardunk.
Stardunk is going to, as you get close to him, my objective is to secure the mothership.
Can I just go in like a vet with an angry cat and just like take a couple blows if I do?
Yeah, he's gonna take one attack on you with disadvantage.
Okay. It's all right, baby. It's all right.
And misses. That's only a 16 to hit. Okay. You block. And you guys are able to subdue him. And you do like a touch hands that effectively gets him from doing death saves to not doing death saves anymore, to being at like 1 HP where he's like nearly incapacitated, but not. You hold your hand up to the wound at his side and you see the skin begins to regenerate. The blood begins to clot, but he still has this monostone and he's still
screaming. Can I take a swipe at the monostone?
Go ahead.
That's a 21.
You slash into it, a huge cut into his hand. Yeah!
Sorry. Should have used a smaller knife.
As you cut a chunk of his hand, and he grabs it, and there's no more monostone, you see the like sort of crackling energy around their blue plate dissipates. Stardunk looks up at you guys.
Thank you. I could see everything, but I couldn't control it.
Yeah, that's how it was for us, but now you can control it. Now you've got a choice.
And you saw us kick Todd's ass then. Did you see that?
I could kind of see it out of my periphery. It looked pretty touch and go there for you guys for a
Not
second.
Really.
I don't know if I'd consider it an ass kicking.
We were, I mean.
Sorry, you saw it out of your periphery? That sounds super specific.
Yeah, no. Well, thank you.
It's okay. I would have done it for anyone, I think. I'm realizing.
I think you would have.
That's just what Duck Team does.
Yeah, we fucking suck. Spread the word.
Do a sucking kiss.
You guys do a little sucking sound.
We need to start walking around with prop straws.
You guys do hear security bots and stuff in the distance.
Uh-oh.
And you see Jazzler kind of clutching her hand, bleeding, still looks like very fucked up, looks up at you and goes,
"Well, say that you won the fight and you ran out the way that you came in, but go through the ducts."
You see she motions up to like a nearby vent.
Okay. I pop it open and scurry up. reach a hand down for Beatrix.
You see Beatrix looks at Jazzler and Stardunk and just shakes her head and goes,
"You're lucky you didn't kill them. Be thankful that you failed."
And jumps up after Callie.
Okay, good. That was my testing the water. Did I like lose her friendship from doing that? Good. Okay, great.
She's just got a good sense of humor. We don't need to worry about her.
Yeah.
Saul gives Calder a leg up and then jumps in himself.
Yeah, thanks. I needed the boost.
You guys pop off the top and enter this vent.
While we're in, can we talk to Mark Goblin?
Mm. Yeah.
Can you set up a line?
Calder. As you get into the vent, Calder, you hear in your ear,
"Over and in."
"Under and in."
"How'd it go out there?"
"Under and in, yes. Hi. We won. We won."
"Oh my God, you really..." "Of course, I knew that was going to happen."
"Why did
under
you send
and in
this
over
in? Are you surprised?"
No, I was not surprised
about?
At all. I was not... Yeah, no,
do
no,
I
no,
hear
no, no,
we... a funeral being set up?
No.
You hear Albin on the device. "I wasn't crying one bit. I was fine. As soon as I heard you were fighting Todd, I was like, they've got this guarantee."
"Wasn't even that close. Total ass kicking. You can ask Stardunk."
"We absolutely wiped the floor with them. That's only their blood on the floor.
I feel like I hear bleeding, which is tough stuff."
"No, those are tears from our eyes as well."
"For me, it was mostly puking."
"And puke, too."
"I yarfed."
"Puking, right. Okay, well, under and then what can I do for you?"
"I was wondering, we have these mana stones, and we're about to fuck up Alexandrite, right? So that she doesn't remember some stuff. Is there a way to get our mana stones offline?"
"Your mana stones are already hacked with a false identity, so you should be safe in that respect."
"Great. Then I have no question."
"How's your day going?"
It's kind of scary. We've started boarding the lab ships. We've had some losses, but we've been able to successfully commandeer several of them. I did not want to stress you out."
"Is Darg okay?"
"Darg was in trouble for a second, but Darg is still alive."
"What about Grem?"
"Grem is still here."
"Thank goodness.
All right.
Keep the nest warm for him."
"You just focus on your mission, and we'll focus on ours."
"Will do."
"Yes."
So we're headed towards Alexandrite's core, I assume?
You see Beatrix nods, and she pulls out a little device with a projection of the mothership on it. It looks like a more detailed version of the one Ma Goblin showed you. You see she takes a moment to kind of make sense of it and looks at the diverging paths of the vent ahead. You see it looks like a ventilation system for all of these labs around here. You feel like airflow going through here because otherwise it would just be completely filled with smoke. You feel there's definitely some smoke in here, but there's lots of airflow. You see she points ahead. "I believe I can get us to Alexandrite's core. I'm sure there will be security, but I doubt they'd trust very many people this deep into the ship."
"Of course."
"Okay, yeah, let's do it."
So you guys travel down these vents for a bit, and at the end of the path that Beatrix leads you down, like, you guys go for a while, and in fact, you hear under you, like, rushing guards and rushing security bots, because when you guys first kind of got to these labs, they weren't sending any armed guards because they don't want people to know about these secret programs and shit. But now it's kind of fucking full-on red alert. They do not want anyone getting this deep into the ship, so you do hear people kind of assembling in some of these rooms. But eventually you guys get to the end of the vent, and you see a grate here looking down into another room, but you just see it is lit up with, like, bright white light. Everybody go ahead and give me perception checks.
Ooh. Dirty 20.
That's going to be a filthy 23.
19.
Good on us.
You guys look down. And I'll even say, you guys kind of pop off the vent and lean down, kind of holding onto each other. and you guys see a sterile white room.
Don't drop the vomit.
Shit. I thought you cleaned this galley.
You see a white room that looks empty, just kind of like sterile. You just hear like the buzz of these arcane lanterns, these lights. But with your perception checks, you guys do see little red lights on both sides of the walls. Looks to be some kind of security device. And at the end of the room, there is another doorway bolted shut.
Okay. So this looks like it might be some sort of secret laser grid. Should we try and dust it?
Can you do that?
Callie, can you make some mist to try and see if this is a laser grid?
Mechanically, no.
Oh.
I think that, I don't want to actually, like, trip it up, though, the thing. Can I essentially use prestidigitation to kind of, like, shine a light over?
Yeah. I'll say the room is about 100 feet across. The red lights are on either side of the walls, and they're about every, like, 33 feet. So there's, like, three sets of lights across the room. As your light crosses the first one, a grid of lasers pops out between the first set, and it dispels the light of, like, the prestidigitation.
Oh, I see.
I actually don't understand what's going on, so one of you should take the lead.
Is this like a spell dampening grid?
Go ahead and give me arcana checks if you guys want.
Great.
And I'll say Beatrix will do the same.
I got a 14.
That's a nat 20 for Saul.
Ooh. Oh, sick.
I think Saul just asked Albin what this is.
Yeah, you talk to Albin, and Albin goes, "If you saw something being dispelled, it could be abjuration magic, almost like a banishment. There are security lasers that don't necessarily do damage or cut you, but might send you somewhere, like a prison, deeper in the
boat." So ask him if we were to damage the lasers from up here, if it would make it shut down.
Did you get that?
Under and in, I've received that.
Okay.
You can try to do that. Often that gives away your position, and it may try to target you. That's a risk you might take.
Okay.
It does look, when you guys saw the lasers pop up, it did look like something you could get through.
Oh.
It just looked like the consequences might be kind of dire if you were to get hit by these lasers. It seems like it might banish you somewhere.
I see.
So right. We're just... But it's like a laser grid. It's like what you guys dodged in the tram. It's not just like a full force field.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just need to hedge our bets. We need to try and make ourselves as greasy and narrow as possible to try and slip through this net.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Well, my arsenal is almost entirely empty, so I guess if we have no other ideas other than, like, ability checks, then let's get on.
Would speed be helpful?
Speed would probably be helpful, yeah. You saw it took, like, a second for it to register.
Okay. So I can cast Expeditious Retreat on us.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and... I'll hop on Calder's back, like a little backpack.
Okay.
And I will cast Guidance on him.
As Saul jumps on my back, my boots grow skates, and I am Apollo Ono style going to try to skate across.
Sick. Okay. So Beatrix, Callie, Saul, and Calder jump down from this vent. You guys land in this sterile room. How do you guys want to tackle this? Are you guys going one at a time, or are you guys going all running at once?
I mean, is there anything that I could sort of like monkey bar on the ceiling?
It's just that would just be a different check, I think.
Mm.
That would be like instead of a dexterity saving throw, you could do acrobatics or
acrobatics
athletics.
Is better.
Okay. Sweet. So I'll say Calder and Saul, you guys gear up to try to outrun these lasers effectively with Expeditious Retreat. Mm-hmm. Beatrix, I'll say, goes down with you guys and gets herself ready to go. Callie, you are up in like the rafters hanging on to some beams up here, and you are going to kind of try to time your swings to swing through the laser grids.
Yeah, I think because unless we can all go on Calder's back, I think that's the only thing I can do to try to give myself any kind of advantage.
Can I carry Callie too?
No, I okay. don't think so.
All right, fair.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So first things first, let's settle Calder's.
Right.
So Calder, you run through. I'll say the expeditious retreat is going to effectively undo the first laser grid. So you are so fast that as you cross between the two laser things, the grid comes up behind you, but you are able to roll forward and get out of the way. The next sensors kind of predict how fast you're moving now and start showing up. And you see lasers going in all directions. You try to look at them to kind of predict the patterns. You find a hole and you try to jump through. Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw.
Whoa. Okay. What is guidance?
It's just a D4.
All right. 30, 20 with a 4 on that. 24.
Dirty 20.
Nice.
You dive through this hole in the grid, and then you get to this last one, and you see that this grid pops up. Looks to be a little bit more complicated than the last one, but you do find another hole to dive through.
Great.
You got this, Calder.
Ooh, that's an 11 before this D4.
Okay, let me tell you this. The DC on the last one is 14. So if you roll a 3 or a 4, you're through.
Oh, God. All right. You beautiful little D4. You're my favorite guy. That's a 4.
As you guys start to dive through, Calder's leg is about to hit one of the lasers, and Saul, you reach out and you grab it and you pull it in and you tuck him in. You guys both roll through and make it.
And I skate stop at the end.
You skate stop at the end. Beatrix makes it with you guys.
Like it looks like the ice chips, but it's just like linoleum flooring.
And I do roll my ankle.
Ow. Callie, we are back to you.
Okay.
Callie, I'll say with Expeditious Retreat, you do the same thing. I'll say you run with them and you get past the first grid.
I'm actually climbing monkey bar style. So I'm picturing like I'm in Hell in a Cell and I'm just like swinging on the cage.
Sweet. You swing on the cage. Go ahead and give me, for the second set of laser grids, give me a acrobatics check. DC 12.
That is a 19.
You see Callie flips through. One more.
Look at her go.
That is a 17.
17 on the last one makes it.
Nice.
So Callie jumps from one, like monkey barring across, like effectively like swinging back and forth, waiting for the right moment, seeing that the grid kind of gets less complicated at the top. There's just kind of like one bar of laser going up and down. You swing past it and you do it again on the last grid.
Calder holds up a 10.
Bravo.
So you guys make it across this field of lasers here, and then the room ends with this like bolted closed door, and you see once again it's got like one of these little like circular windows, but it's just darkness beyond it.
Beatrice, do you know what is on the other side?
I believe this is the way to the core.
The core behind the door.
Can I maybe hold up like Jazla's mana stone to see if she has access to this?
Ooh.
Almost use it like an employee card.
You hold up the mana stone, and here's the really weird thing about this. This does not seem like an automatic door. Like this almost seems like it's like keeping something in.
Oh, don't like that.
Suspicious.
Is Alexandrite like a fucking huge feral creature that they've tamed to become sort of a super intelligence? If so, that's so hot.
All right, you're gonna explain how that's hot later.
Yes, explain it to me, but not right now.
Okay. But for now, we should go figure out what exactly is being contained in here.
Calder, is it crazy if you do your little knock?
Yeah, Calder's going to try the friendly knock.
You do not hear anything on the other side.
No, dude.
Saul's going to follow that up with a punch and just
sweet
blast the door down.
Punch. If anyone could do that rhythm, it'd be a monk.
Yep. You punch into it, you dent it, you break it off its hinges, and you kick it off. And you feel like, it feels like an air release. Like this like room has no windows or anything. A little gust of air as it opens up into darkness.
We're here to fix the PC. We're from IT.
You guys enter and find a narrow room that is extremely tall. It goes up and up. You guys are near like the 50th floor, and you know the mothership goes up like 100 stories, and this very well could be 50 stories high.
Whoa.
There's machinery everywhere, wires, blinking lights, and a set of stairs, all leading up to a single glowing pod. Thousands of wires connected to it, and there's a dull blue glow coming from it.
Seems like the core to me.
That's the core. All right. Without a short rest, I am out of anything that could get me up there, so I think let's just start climbing unless someone else has a way to get up there.
Yeah, I still have Expeditious Retreat, so I'll just climb this in my ice skates.
Just slicing wires.
Whoa.
Just like walking like someone at an ice skating rink after they get off the ice.
Yeah. Can I just do like a perception check to see if like any machine is waiting in the wings to attack us?
Yeah.
Or any security measure?
Everybody give me perception checks, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a 10.
Ooh. Dirty 20.
That's just a 9.
Saul, you guys are going up these stairs. You see that there are... A lot of this stuff looks like dusty. Looks like nobody is in here really like doing any upkeep or anything like that. But you do see that there are little platforms going off of the main staircase that look like they could be for someone to fix something or like kind of walk from one side to the other that's not going straight up. And Saul, as you look over, you do see someone in the shadows. You see a body up against the wall. And for a moment, almost looks like somebody like sleeping or something like that. And then they suddenly, as you walk past, they jerk awake.
Oh.
And you see Patina Glenbottle walks out of the shadows.
Hi there, ma'am. It's Tater Skinderson from IT. Heard you were having some server issues.
I know who you are.
I thought you might.
Listen, I'll admit... You have me backed into a corner here. I can't quite send my soldiers here because they can't know this place exists. And I can't send my robots in here because an accident would be catastrophic. But whatever bone you have to pick with me, surely you don't want to destroy us all, do you? And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
wow, what a threat.
That's good. That'll give us a whole week to think of a sassy retort.
Which we'll all forget.
Fuck you.
You're the one that's destroyed.
You're the one who doesn't know what you're talking about. What are you doing? Just hanging out in a dark room, weirdo?
More like Patina Glenbottle. I got you.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. This was a fun one. You can hear us chat about it over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it.
Okay. Okay, it's good.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
We did it up top, but I need to plug those shows again because...
We simply must.
Yeah. I mean, I want LA to just get blown out, okay? Everybody should come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Please blow us out.
Blow
us out, guys.
So, yeah, check out those shows over at nadpod.com/live. That's a
right,
that's
show. June 16th
yep.
and June 17th.
That's right. And that is Portland and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm going to shout out at M_Humble the London show or maybe the Manchester show made a Murph Beef of the Week calendar and gave it to us. That was really funny. Nancy, who we met after the London show, who does a very cute cartoon called The Not Adventures of Umeboshi and Friends. And then also I'm just going to shout out a person I met named Ollie who worked at Willow Grove Coffee in Glasgow and gave me good recommendations for what to do.
Oh, sick.
That's lovely.
We had a great time in Glasgow.
Really did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ollie.
Thank you, Ollie. Thank you, Scotland in general, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, we had a blast on tour. Yeah. I've got one more plug. Mm-hmm. Three Black Halflings has a new campaign.
Yes.
Guys, go check it out. They've got they're about 4 episodes deep now called City of the Black Rose. It's very cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Check out Three Black Halflings wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Go give it a listen. I would love to plug Love, if that's okay.
Wow.
Just the concept of it. We get so many save the dates delivered to our PO box.
Me.
It's There's too many at this point to shout out all the people. It's that big of a crowd. We've been inundated. So I do want to just say big ups to all these NUPs. Congratulations to everyone. Thank you for sending us these save the dates. It's really sweet to get to see people that listen to our show also find their soulmate forever. That's really cool and reaffirming. So thank you very much.
Yeah. And I will be at all those weddings with my boys because we do roll deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We roll like 14. We have a really big entourage.
Jake's entourage is terrible too. Those guys are we'll be
trashing the bridal suite for sure.
Yeah. Jake is actually taking off for half a year from the show because he's just going to be going to wedding after wedding.
Yeah, the wedding tour.
Every weekend.
The wedding tour.
Bachelor parties and honeymoons too.
Honeymoons is so different than a bachelor party.
We just check in with Jake after 3 months and he's like, I'm so sunburned, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
The common theme is that I'm not invited to any of them.
Yeah. Some people would be a little bit excited if you came to the bachelor party, but not the honeymoon. Yeah,
they definitely draw the line.
I'm going to go to the honeymoon and I have a lot of plans. I have a lot of activities.
If you would like to invite us to your honeymoon, you can send us the tickets for the cruise ship at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Thanks, y'all.
Oh, yeah. You could follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at chmurfsme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EXRedsEmily, and at Jake Ortiz Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation.
It is the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who is missing his own D&D game to see NADPOD live in LA. Oh, thank you, Dylan. Can't wait to see you. Dungeon Mama, Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Miss Ter Cole, Victor T, Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJ M, Trele, The Cray, Jared E, Christopher B, Damiel R, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Brian Woodland, Vice President of Business Development of Sure Incorporated. Please send us more stickers. Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Colton B., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G., Tyler F., Knee Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana Delos Lopez, Cece Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Croc-aholic, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, hashtag love to all my supporters, New York, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton the Mad Druid, who has been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks. I feel like that went up. Foster, the original boneless duck. Aaron, the asshole ranger. Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Eric McD. Giant Monsters on the Horizon. Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klasowski de Rolo III. Christian A. Olivia K. J. Dragonborn. Joe Rowe, the Inapropro. Cody B. Liam D. The Sendrayan. Ben A. Feldonis. John the Third. Dave H. Vivian Koala Bear. Catherine S. David K. Christian S. Rebecca G. Dustin S. Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., The Time Walker, Mark U., Blair, the Bug Blair Barblarian, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor, Minette, the Magnificent Magikarp,
Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Joshua D, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robot Crisps, Master Brentley, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, it says insert request here, I would love to see a drawing of Saul eating a big burger, Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Spam Gaming, who's just some guy, I guess, Grant L, Connor S, Christopher J, Pebblepot, What Happens When You Stand on a D4? Your foot takes 1d4 damage. True enough. Logan S. Salil. Leviathan. BioQuart 7. Remington CD. Ambidextrous. Sullivan H. Trub Hop Dropper. Sydney T. Jack Hubert. Hi, my name is Brian Murphy. I wish I could tell you that I'm a golden finch, but I'm really just a dirty city pigeon. It's true. Aetherix. Hashtag sexy Saul slurping snitties. I need to know more about what any of that is. Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner. Aw. Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C. Louie is your centaur dad. Salty Burrito, Emily S. Harry Cox. Allie, congrats on finishing your master's degree. Love you. Yeah, way to go. Estelle, Conflicted DM. Justin LeBee. Twirly Skirmisher, Dandy, Ian D, Bunny, hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, hashtag Frog Pal Stucks, hurts every time, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Learns, The Balanced Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, Self-Proclaimed Fey Prince, Tracy P, The Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzed, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Kristen Z, Leia C, Paige H, Foster's Feathery Finish, huh, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Zero Parody, the not-so-bad DM, aw, don't be hard on yourself, I'm sure, pretty great, Neos, the novice monster hunter, some jerk named Simon. I dreamt he shouted at me that I should remember and free him as if I knew who he was. Huh. Lorelei Frost. Morgan M. Appealing sticker. Stephen E. Mr. Adams. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. Hi, man. Yeah, that's me. Cap'n Cappy. M4L. The Dragon Ambassador. Wayfarer, inventor of the SS Storm Bjorn. Andrew B, Dalton B, Cope Fresh, Barpo Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. I hope to taste your goods one day. Tari rhymes with Jabari, Welshlander, Garrett Grosser, aka One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, John P, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S, Cameron C, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Daniel V.H., Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Honestly, I'm excited to see it. Blue Slade, Michaela R., Albin's Alabaster Aftermath, hashtag Come Muppets Will Rise. Oh, it's only getting worse. Solemn Sticky Sauce, hashtag CCC Double Down. Calliope's Cumulo Cumblast, hashtag CCC forever. You gotta love the dedication. Riley S. Sir Sig 93. Fico. Melvin the Moonton. No one is cooler than Angry Wheat, especially not the front half of a horse costume. Wow, so many bits going on in the shoutouts. The game itself. Chaos Conf, aka I Am a Smaffire. Shacked Aaron Rosenthal. Tony G. Logan D. Anthony Dale Murphy Jr., who would like to declare his full support for hashtag CCC and its derivatives. Noted, Anthony. Thank you very much. Josh H. And, of course, Jack, the Jack's jinxing rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls. Godspeed with your quest, Jack. And Godspeed to all of our council members. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.